pathways to joy.
How do you define joy?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I mean, how do I find joy?
Oh, that's how do you define
joy? How do I define joy? Gotcha, okay, there's two separate questions. I mean, I know how. Sometimes I find it better, sometimes I find it worse. How do I define joy? Joy is not letting the things around us get in the way. That's all it is. Once you're stuck, you get the drop of the ore, it's something, you're already okay. All the things that are bothering us are not real. They're not doing this thing. That's the crazy thing about it. I was telling you yesterday, we did studies with people going into, it's unbelievable. They studied with people who were ill, and people, all sorts of different people, and putting themselves, reframing. The person's not religious, not, I think, really that's it. But the reframe, think of yourself as 22 years old, younger. They put pictures and maybe the different things they put in. The whole, it was 1959. Is it 81? It was 1959. Everything was 1959. The radio was on 1959. The television, everything was 1959. You know, these people were secular people. They're going in. And 5 years later, they felt completely different. They were giving me their canes. Everything changed. Because that's what it comes down to. It's really all we are sabotaging ourselves. That's the problem. That's really what we're going to talk about today also. This idea of the dimming. The dimming, everything has to do with what we imagine. How do I think? What am I feeling itself? How do I frame things? How do I see things? What else to do with that? There's an incredible Zohar in the Parsha. It says, Haran died, Terach, his father, he died on the basis of Terach's father. His father lived and he died, he was killed. What happened to Haran? Poor Haran. You know, we saw there's a whole Mahalit, some say he was on the side. So when Avram jumped in, Kibyakol, he jumped in and he wasn't saved. Sounds like he's a bit of an idiot, no? I mean, Avram had a big schuss and he jumped in. But the Zohar says something incredible. There's just a little, they pushed him in. They said, Avram, yeah, he was saved, but it must be because Haran's such a good guy. He's trying to bring peace to everyone. He's also just as immune to the fire as Avram. So Haran's like, well, I don't know about this guy. And they threw him in, he burned to death. And I go, actually, no, I guess that's not true. That's not it. So we'll find any stupid, little, ridiculous, impossible, improbable thing and say, that's why. That's it. It's because of that. That's what happened. We don't understand. We're experiencing miracles every day, all day. And we just don't see it. We don't get it. We don't see it. And we say, oh yeah, that's true, that's true. We don't, the heart is like no heart. We're not going to get it at the heart, within the heart. We're just sabotaging ourselves. This person, she says, when you say you're fighting a disease, you are sabotaging yourself. You're not fighting a disease, it's nothing. It's a really very interesting way of looking at life. And it's really, you know, from the Rebbe, that's exactly what he says. It's exactly what he says. He says, it's all in your mind, it's all up to you. It depends on your joy, your joys. All going to be set. Everything will work out. Everything will work out. He said, and you know what? If you say, well, maybe it won't work out, maybe I'll die. He said, everyone dies. Okay. If it's time, it's time. That's okay. So, but really, it's up to you. It's up to us. I have a choice to do whatever I want. Total, I have a complete choice. And it all comes down to what I think and how I think. If I think of myself as Neshama trying to serve Hashem, I get to a place that Rav Nachman talks about that's above time. So then it's like Thomas, he's now to be old. Now to be old, I would say. We talked about this yesterday, like, what do you mean now to be old? I mean, I'm old, but, you know, like, what do you mean I'm not allowed to be old? I'm old, like, you're not allowed to be, what does it mean? You know, what's the exact age? What happens then? You hide your birthday, you say, well, I'm married, so I'm only this age. I'm really, it's the fame of certain people. Like, I just turned 19, like, I mean, you didn't, like, everyone knows you. So, but it's not true, though. We can all go back to wherever we want, however we want. It's going to create an incredible call. To be positive, to be connected, and like everything works out. It's where you just get from that place. And it's our choice, it's totally my choice. So when I'm upset instead, I'm just throwing a strain on my life, and I'm not letting in the light. It doesn't come, so it doesn't percolate. And I say, well, what happened? So depressed, it's so miserable. Why are you making yourself miserable? Why am I making myself miserable? We said yesterday, a person, just the way you look at what you're doing in your life and what you're going through, it's up to you. You can look at it as a challenge and say, well, this is a challenge and there's great spiritual dividends here. You can look at it as a send-up. Here, if I have to, let's say, this morning, right? My wife went to sleep late. Whatever reason it was, my wife went to sleep late. So I got the kids out. So I have a choice of how I do that. I can do that and say, oh, she went to sleep late. What, did she really have to go to sleep late? Maybe yes, maybe no. Whatever it was, help someone. Maybe whatever it was. I can sit and make a judgment, and say, oh, I should have this, and I'd rather this, and I'd this. Or I can just get up early, be happy, think I'm doing chesed with my kids, with my wife, and make everything spiritual. It's up to me. then it's all an hour, it's a great hour, or it's a suffering hour. It's totally up to me, my choice. Totally my choice. Because the truth is, that's what I'm doing. So if I'm doing that, why not do it? The Chofetz Chaim, these kids came in to a train, they were traveling to Chofetz Chaim. I don't know exactly why, this is all notes, or maybe it happened to be, whatever, him and his yeshiva, how many kids it was, maybe 20 kids, it wasn't so big, the yeshivas then, in Europe. Maybe 20 kids or whatever, the Chofetz Chaim. And this is all notes. This lady comes on the train and she sells her peanuts. She's like, a widow. That's how she made her money, Jewish lady. Everyone bought her peanuts from her. Everyone bought some kind of nut, whatever it was. So she got off the train and Chofetz Chaim said, now we paid a few pence and we got this commodity, this fine commodity. He said, and someone who had in mind that he wants to help this poor lady who needs help to support her family and she needs help to live, he said, did the highest thing possible. And so he said, oh, I get some peanuts, he got none. That's the same action. So why not, you know, focus? Why not be there? Why be not there? Not present. This is not present. He's remote. Why am I remote? Why can't I be present? If I have certain problems, I have certain things that bother me, well, I have an address. That's Hashem. Say, help me. Help me be positive. Help me be good. Help me be what you want me to be. Who you want me to be. Be how you want me to be. Just has to do with how I think and what I think, what I do. It's totally our choice. It's like incredible. I was saying yesterday, the Rebbe gives us the syllabus to learn so much. You say like, well, it's not impossible. But, you know, you speak to somebody. I did it. The year I did it, I just killed myself. I just canceled. I took like a sabbatical year, and I just did all the things that Rebbe says. And like, if you look at it, you realize that it's actually your choice. If you want and you yearn, you'll do it, and you can do it every year also. It's totally up to you. It's up to me. If I want and I yearn, I'll do it. Might take me a long time to get, but once you get the skills, once you get the siyat tishmai, that's just a choice of whether you do it or not. Is it on your mind? Are you yearning for it or not? That's our choice. Totally our choice.
I'm sorry, you said skills?
Yeah, you have to have the learning skills. To learn 7-8 daf gemara a day, without skills, you can't do it. It's impossible. And to learn the Arizal every year, also, you're not going to do it without having the knowledge and skills. And to learn the Zohar, also, you're not going to do it without having the knowledge and skills. Same with Shulchan Aruch. And even Tanakh is not always easy to learn the whole thing. You want to do everything, but like whatever you can do, it's totally our choice. If we yearn for it and we can't, this is if we did it, and we will get it all most likely. If we don't yearn for it, why aren't we yearning? Why aren't we yearning? Well, yearning is a problem. I think I might have mentioned this before. I remember, but like, on the one hand, the Rebbe says yearning is free. Lutzen is free. Anything you want, you can just yearn. I wanna be a really good guy. Maybe I'm not such a good guy, but I can yearn to be a good guy. I can yearn to help someone, I can yearn to have a better attitude, I can yearn to change myself, I can yearn. So that's on the one hand, everyone says it's free, Rotzen is free. But Rotzen says, he says, Rotzen breaks the goof. It breaks the physicality completely. So on the other hand, like, you can't be yearning with your whole heart, and also you want the pizza. You don't care about the pizza, you're yearning with your whole heart. So you're just breaking the physicality when you yearn. But it's up to me, what I yearn, what I want, is up to me, totally my choice. So I can yearn for whatever it is, the coin in front of me, the flesh in front of me, the food, whatever it may be. That's my big fears, that's my life. Well, I can yearn for Hashem, for tradition, for connection. It's totally my choice. That's really what it comes down to.
You have to yearn for things that are within your power to achieve.
No, you can yearn for anything.
I mean, I could yearn to be a Kohen, and I'm not a Kohen.
A Kohen is different, but you are a Kohen. It's not true. You actually are a Kohen, because the Zohar says that when the time comes, you're going to be a Kohen. We're all going to be Kohen.
Okay, comes
exactly, you have to be zochet to have the aura of a Kohen. But Kohen is a very strong thing. It's not so simple. I mean, Pinchas yearned to be a Kohen. He became a Kohen. It's very unusual, but it can happen. You really, really want. You will.
Maybe they find out. They just want to
No, mostly no. Mostly what you feel is a desire to yearn for, you have a spiritual connection to it. So if what talks to me is, I don't know, I go to the temple institute, and this is like, oh, I love this, and I just want to help this. This talks to me. This is me. And I want to learn all my luchas, and the country, and all the gemaras, even though they're so hard. This speaks to me, so you might have a shorish there. It's not so simple. I mean, let's say, most people, we're learning Yibam, right? We're learning about the Yavamas now, right? So most people don't, I just remember the story, actually use it as a show. Most people don't get the chance to do the mitzvah of Yibam, right? You don't manage to... You don't get around to it. Like most people, Baruch Hashem, they have their children, or if they don't, they don't have a brother to live. They don't. It's not a poor. It's a widow whose husband passed away with no kids. It doesn't usually happen so much. Or if someone's married, so they can't do anyway. Even more chalitza. But the Tosafot Rebbe went out of his way to try to facilitate mitzvahs that he's not chayav. He said, there's a mitzvah you can do, but I can't do it. I'll help someone else do it. So he tried to find ways. So you can be a bechinez. It's not so simple. Kohen is chesed. So we're good, right? Mamleches Kohanim. We're good kodosh. We're a bechinez. Everyone in a certain way, we have an aura of a kohen. The kohen has a special, special potential to do incredible things if he doesn't mess up. If he kills someone, he's not a kohen anymore. He lost something. This kid's a kohen, could be he gives over to his kid, but he already messed up in a way that he can't turn that back anymore. It's just not. It's not possible. Some things he does well right now, he can't do things he's doing. There are limitations. The point has limitations because of he has certain potential, certain co-ops in all, which is more than anyone else. We have nothing to talk about this. It doesn't matter. All the same, the Rav talks about in depth about what is it and how is it, what do you do, what is it called, who is it, never has it. I don't remember. Actually, yeah. So that's the, he has long discussions about why is he in, what does he have. He's become fantastic. But the bottom line is, whatever I want, I can get. That's really what it comes down to. What I want, I can get. You're right, there are some things that are out of my, I just can't connect to it, so I'm not holding by it. But I can do Kiyur. I can make it to Kiyur. It's not so simple. It's not always so easy. Actually, we'll come down. Oh, yeah, yeah. So the question is, where is my mind? Where is my head? Where is my imagination? And what am I looking to do? Am I looking to fix the world? Am I looking to help people? Or am I somewhere else? Not such a good place. I'm thinking about me. Thinking about this. I think about that. It's funny when I think about me, I disconnect from the reason why I'm here, and I suffer. That's like really strange, right? I take care of this. Sometimes you can't be. I have to be. Also, a person. A person has certain limitations, certain needs. I need certain things, whatever they may be. I can't deny my need for those things. I can't say, well, I don't need to eat. I'm not going to eat. I need very little bit. Less than what I need. That's not good. I need things. The same thing in terms of being a person. Some things I need, and you need them. Everyone has to work out what he needs and how he needs. But the emphasis is, the truth of the matter is, when I think about myself, my own interests, and I forget about Hashem and one key for my mission, so I am doing myself the biggest disservice in the world. And I just don't realize this. I don't realize that my mind takes me to places where I'm miserable. It's not that I'm miserable because of my circumstance. My mind and my attitude takes me to this place where I'm miserable. Because I'm not so miserable. Right? Famous story of Reverend Zusha, right? Someone came to see him. Zusha. The worst, the hardest house, and broken kids. Every possible problem, toothache, who knows what. And, he actually said, the Basantam sent me, I think, Basantam, the Magi sent me, tell me how can I learn how to deal with my suffering? And you look so happy, you're dealing with your suffering, maybe you can give the lesson. And he said, what suffering? I never suffered in my life. What are you talking about? I'm your teacher, and it's still suffering. He's like, why? It just has to do with how you think, what our attitudes, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what am I feeling, where am I? Where am I home? You know, the Nesiv Shalom said, the person, it says, Ayom Elokim Yior, by Yior. So literally it says, God said there will be let there be light, and there was light. So he said, we have to learn a deep lesson here. If a person says, God, let there be light, there's light. If you turn to Hashem and say, help, give me light, there's light. So that's all we're supposed to do. That's what he says. Said in Yiddish, actually. But actually, yeah, personally, he says, Vahiyor, it's our. It's up to us. Whatever we want to do, we can do it. This Vern Lichtig. To be illuminated. There we go. Actually, yeah, we have to realize it's totally, totally, totally up to us. That's what the Rebbe said. Stop chasing your sins. We chased our sins. It's like, it's crazy. Why am I chasing after the stupid things I've done? Like, let's stop. What's the point? It's unbelievable. We don't have the right attitude. It's an unbelievable thing. You don't have the right attitude. You have to have a totally different attitude, revamped attitude. A completely revamped attitude. You have to have an attitude where I take my Torah, my mitzvahs, I say, well, every mitzvah Hashem gave an opportunity to connect to Him. And I'm going to do my best to do as many as I can. So Rasta, I mean, he takes it the opposite, the exact opposite. People say, there's so many mitzvahs, I'm not managing, I'm not doing it. That is not the right attitude. You have to do it for more, yes, but you have to be happy with who you are, where we are. He's even the worst person. It's great for him that he does so many mitzvahs. Because he can at least do something. He'll do this, or he'll do that, or he'll do the other thing. Abraham told us that he wanted to help us, so he gave us Torah mitzvahs, he made us a lot of Torah mitzvahs. That's what Rasta says. We have so many, because do it. It's unbelievable the din and how the mind works. To completely confuse, take a little bit of truth, a kernel of truth, and conflate it and confuse, and then we can't get anywhere. We can't. Personally, we have a certain problem. I have a defect. I have a trouble. I have a vice. Whatever it may be, and I let that rule my life. Why? Why is that? Why is it the central element of my life? Why? It doesn't have to be. It's a lie. I have a problem. Can you do it? Move forward. Do what you can. Do how you can. Don't let my thoughts be. Forget Hashem for it. I want to bring Hashem into my life. The kid, in the country, that's the best way to heal it. How do I heal my problem? How do I heal that? By thinking about Hashem. The thing is that I'm here on a mission for Hashem. And I want my imagination to be pure, to be clarified, to be good. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I need. We are all in the situation of the Turkey Prince. We're under the table. We have no spiritual garments, nothing. We're eating like crumbs, and that's where we are. We don't see it. We say, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't. Somehow, something's missing. I had a friend who became a best of her. Before, there was a big lam din. He learned a lot. Oh, he learned so much. He said he's gotten in contact with this guy. He used to have a nightclub. Best of. Great guitarist. Really great guitarist. Pretty well known now, too. And, you know, the guy was very simple. He became the tuba from Brest. And he was doing his best. And he said, I was so jealous of him. Because he's so happy. He said, and I know so much. And I have done so much. I've seen so much. I don't have it. Yeah, I said, well, I just don't have it. He said, it bothered me. He said, I tested on Tampa shots, Ripple shots, 70 dots, and I did this, I learned London, whatever you want. And I do not have, with this simple guy, like the Tom and the Coco, like this guy, he's so happy. He's got a little guitar, he's drinking around, he's down, he's doing his best. And he's just doing his best, he's a happy guy. And he said, why are you so miserable? You poor guy, I feel so bad for you. I think the town, never. He's like, really, I don't need books. And I think, who cares? I'm going to be a lot of cut up. I really mean it. I'm free. But you don't have any, like, has no life. He became also a blessed this guy. His father is, yeah, I heard that. He says, my fault, because when we do Kibbutz Tzaddikim, we went to Rav Nachman, and I said, take it slowly. He says, I did the mistake. That's what he said. That was a big error. And then he took my son. I remember. Actually, that's the way it's. We all have this ability. We can just be happy with who we are. It's incredible. The Rebbe talks about a Baal Machshava. The Rambam talks about a Baal Machshava. One of the things which is hard to do tshuva from is someone who has lots of thoughts, multitudes of thoughts. He thinks and thinks and thinks. He thinks so much. He thinks himself in a box. He can't think. It's too much thought. So it's strange, because very often a person has a lot of advantages. There's a lot of minus, there's a lot of greatness, a lot of goodness. He's able to do things with that. He's in a good place. He surrounds himself with these crazy thoughts. Like, we have to get up from under the table. We can't say, get up from under the table. And again, we do that slowly. We say, you know, I can be a turkey. I can say the same old. Like, put on a shirt, do something and make a special garment. Like, keep doing it, hold on to it. Yeah, put on a pair of pants, put on a at the table, if you do everything, do the same. You don't have to. It's not pushing. You can't jump levels. You don't jump levels. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants one level at a time, and not to go after the shekin, not to go after the tassel. Yes, it's important. Exercise is important. Don't make that your whole life, right? That's in the story of the master of prayer, right? That's my whole life. That's not your whole life. Sure, Hashem made you a body, and you have to rule over your body. One of the ways to do it is by exercise. This is great. Very good for you. Hashem made a natural life. There's a reason. I don't think the person has a lot of great exercise. Don't make that your whole life. That's not your whole life. Don't make eating the right kind of food your gamut. That is not your life. It might be very important. It might be, right? You know what I mean? There's this guy. I mean, he's the whole Torah. He puts in his, what is it, microbiotics. Like, just not so well. I'm sorry. You're completely way off. And Rasta says, if it wasn't a kernel of truth, so then. There is truth to that. You should eat right. Yes, the food is better for your body. It's excellent. It's important. But you can't be in a place where you say, I'm gonna. That's my whole life. That's I dedicate my life to food. I never eat right. It's very nice to help people, but you have to know there's something higher than eating right. There's something else besides eating right. That's not it. It's important. It's good, but that's not it. Since the rest of them, the people who their whole life is dedicated to murder, and you look at that, and Rebbe is like, well, you know, this is really true. Also, though it's a little hard. The Rebbe, I understood from him, he writes that he read a book. He saw in a book that there were people like this. There actually was such a plan. I mean, today it's really easy. You know, you just need to look at euthanasia and all these little nice things people do at different stages of life, before they're born, after they're born, different things. And it's very easy to find someone who's dedicated life to murder. I want to improve the guy's quality of life. I want to help him and his poor relatives and all that. Money, again, money also. But these things, there are so important that everything has its place. I mean, it's important, you know, the Bechina of Ritzicha, as Dr. Kellen says, you have to have a lot of cruelty. We have to learn how to be cruel to our base nature. Not too much, but a little bit. To be tough, to be cool, not to be a wimp. Chazak, to be such a pushover. Learn how to be a little tough. You want to learn Torah, you have to push yourself. You want to help someone when it's, you know, I don't feel like it. You gotta learn how to, you have to do it. What do you mean? You have to sit down, do what you're supposed to do. You can't be so passive. You have to move, learn how to move and do what I need to do. But on the other hand, I can't take it to the point where I'm killing people. Like, no, you're tough, you're firm. No, yeah, that's it. Do it. What, are you crazy? What, are you joking? I mean, you know, some of these people, they wake up. What then? It's unbelievable. It's crazy. This is beyond belief. This is not, murder. It is murder. These are old questions. There are these many pagan cultures, right? The older person got old, he gets in the canoe, paddles away, and he just starves himself or doesn't. I don't know what happens to him exactly. He disappears off the face of the earth, as far as they're concerned. Like, that's not that's not what we're supposed to use our capacity to be strong and tough and cruel for. We're supposed to use it positively, the way it's supposed to be used, in balance with the rest of our attributes, positive and negative. That's what we're supposed to use.
I know a woman in a school like that. She traced her roots back to the Baal Shem Tov,
uh-huh.
And she had this philosophy. She only took kids that couldn't make it in day school.
Uh-huh.
That's all she did. Just took kids in. She had a beautiful school. She ran it like, you know, with that philosophy of life, mm-hmm. The joy philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And all she worked on was praise. That was it, praising. And all of her teachers were like that, you know, in the school. And it was a school that, of course, you know, the day school principals didn't recommend the school to anybody because it had to do with joy. It's the last thing they wanted.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. They had a way to, you know, they didn't even want to incorporate that kind of philosophy into one of their classes within the school. They just said, let her go, she'll run out of money, and that would be the end of it. And while she was in business, it made a difference in people's lives. That was easy to see. I knew her personally, and you know, this is how she lived her life. See, no matter what happened at home, and I was there through all kinds of stuff, it was always joyful. There was nothing that took away joy. It all came into that friendly.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to eat almost every Shabbos in the wedding. My wife and kids, you know, because it was joyful, so joyful.
Wow.
She sat next to her rabbinic husband and explained to him how to, in their own way, how to be joyful. And and the table was always full. I remember once I was making announcements, and it was after Mincha. And so for Joe, I said, and today's Shabbos Shudas would be at Rabbi so-and-so's house. Well, you know what? People believe. So we all walked over. She was so excited. She found me. She said, oh my gosh, all these people, this is so wonderful. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, what's a can of tuna fish? It's wonderful. And, you know, and he kept looking at me saying, how could you do this? Why not? How could you do this? I said, it was a joke. I didn't think it was real. So, But it, you know, for her, it was an incredible, spontaneous, joyful time. And it just, I could never shake her up, no matter what I did. But I was fascinated by this joyfulness and that she had. It's a rare thing. I mean, you're right, it's very rare. The people that taught are so joyful today. I mean, they're like, it's 30 years, I guess, or 20 years since the school was open. And it's not open anymore. But I know the people who taught there, and that's how they raise their families, and that's how they live. And they live a very, it's very different. They just live differently than most people do.
But it's too bad not to, why shouldn't we all do that?
Yeah.
Well, tell us.
We have the potential.
Do it if you want. Totally our choice. Oh, yeah. So those are the different groups. There's another group also, which is with the money. That's the hardest group. Hardest money is like impossible. You can't shake money. It's unbelievable. So many stories of what money is. One guy, it was his wife's funeral. He's like feeling around. I lost a button. Just totally buttonless. Plus I two pennies. He was like, nah, they're like, I can't believe this guy looking for a button. He just didn't get it. He got it, but there's another guy who got it. He was close to Valuable Beyond. He came to visit him. He said, I have so much trouble with money, I'm telling you, here I am, I'm on my last legs. And if someone would drop a penny, I think I'd jump and get it. That's who I am. Money is very important to me. It's unbelievable. He's driving. It's very, very hard. If there's some truth to that, you need money. Money has a whole things to it. What he says, running, beautiful colors, views, which are, of course, they have to do things with it for a reason, but a special spark, but it's not supposed to rule my life. It's not supposed to be my end or be all. That's not what money is. One of the words completely fools us. Totally fools us. Called rust. Rust. Tell it. Don't see straight. Don't see straight. You don't see. You know. You don't understand. So we're miserable instead of being happy. For what? Why? No reason. Because we haven't had the holy chutzpah to say, I'm going to be happy anyway. And if it's up for us, I'm just going to limit it. If there's suffering, I'm going to limit it. I'm not going to let it take my life over. I'm just going to let it pass. It's going to pass. Goodbye. Then I can't do that. So then I'm just, I don't know what to do. I can't get anywhere. It's this crazy dimness. Dimness is unbelievable. It's horrible. There was another group also. They said, I don't know if it's his merit, maybe it's not his merit that Avram was saved, but must be that Terach's family is somehow, they're inoculated from fire. Let's test it. Yeah, he had a miracle, right? Nimrod said, you have to believe in something that's giving you the embodiment of your divine power. So otherwise, you are a heretic and you will be killed. So Avram said, well, what do you think I should believe in? He said, well, how about fire? He said, well, water quenches fire. Aha. Okay, water. No, but water also. By the way, he just went through thing after thing and made a terrible joke of it. Turn out and he said, no, but mankind, the man gets put by fire. He just made a whole joke and made a big circle of all different things. So each thing has its weakness, so why would you worship anything like any of this? It's stupid. So we're gonna teach you and put in the fire and he got saved miraculously. And even years later, he was in Eretz Yisrael and he comes to Eretz Yisrael with a famine. What happens? What do they say? Oh, the heretic came and he caught him. It's his fault. This bad guy. He's a bad one. He doesn't have good days. His days are. He's a heretic. And therefore, there's a famine. It's like unbelievable. People don't. It's incredible. That was part of his design, part of his test. To go to Egypt. All right. You just focus just able to focus on Hashem, bring the fact the way I'm supposed to, and trying to do what I'm supposed to do, it's incredible. And, you know, that's part of what Uman is. Uman is this catalyst. It's really interesting. Uman is this catalyst. And I've met a lot of people that way. It starts to, your life starts to speed up when you get Uman. Because, especially when you go to Pachitans, because things start to really come to a head. People, everyone has their character defects, everyone has their problems that they came here for. And, you know, when you do whatever you do, you're making biur, and you are making clarifications in the best way you can. But somehow, Uman speeds up the process. You really feel like things get really, get better, but they really, whoa, you're dealing with your past lives. Not the, it's not a, there's no way to, there's no illusion here. There's no delusion here. You're, there were problems in the past lives, now you're going to deal with them. Like it or not. That's the way, no, really, that is, I mean, someone just told us Friday night. I'm like, that is exactly how you feel. Exactly. Because at the time, they was like, what are you coming here for? You have to fix things. We're going to throw things at you, so you fix. And that's what happens. You have no choice. That's just what happens. Like, I'm just like, no words. I have no words. There's no words for what happened. It's unbelievable. Oh. So difficult. So, so difficult. We don't know if it's a tough one. It's a great, great understanding that the world is nothing. Because no one really, we don't get it. You know, we think that, well, if I miss the train, it's these cats, but, you know, catastrophe. Oh, you missed it. We don't remember. Where's the center of my life? Where's the master of the world? Where am I? We're all supposed to be connected, bringing down the light of Hashem into people's lives. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're here for. Bring Hashem into people's lives. Bring Hashem. If I can't talk to him, at least focus, at least pick him up that way. Nothing says, at least so yearn. And if you can talk to him in Hashem, do so, do something. It's so hard. Like, why is it so hard? Because I'm not focused. Well, I'm not focused at, I'm here on a mission. If I go to the matzah to get a bag of milk, it's not for me to get a bag of milk. I have to get a bag of milk because I'm supposed to interact with the people there. I either yearn for Hashem and connect to Hashem that way, or talk to him and pick him up. That's what I'm here for. I don't see that. I need milk because we're having milk. I talk to my fourth guy.
Picking up milk is, you can be Hashem related to picking up milk.
You're supposed to. And not only are you supposed to pick up the light when you, like, get as far as all of the coast with the milk, also. Not only that, but even more than that, I'm supposed to, even the people I interact with, I'm supposed to lift them up too. That's why, that's why the Shulchan Aruch said it's better to do business with a Jew than a non-Jew. So a non-Jew is much harder. So the Jew, it's just easier. The soul is activated, it's easier to deal with it that way. So you're supposed to either pick him up, or at least you're, that you should be elevated. We should be elevated by the business transaction. It's like, it's unbelievable. Yeah, you just feel like, where in the world am I? I'm just going to run to get the milk. I'm not thinking of anything.
Last week there was that tragedy on her shoulder. And that little baby. That's from my wife. That's for train stop.
No, it's ammunition hill. You know,
it's ammunition hill. That's for train stop. She gets off to go with her. She gets off. And that time was the time she's normally there at that stop. And why wasn't she there? She was having lunch with her son who was visiting from America. She wanted to have a mother-son lunch. So they were having a mother-son lunch at that time.
Unbelievable.
She says, you know, I don't know if I'd have been there or not been there at that exact moment. I have no way of knowing that. You know, but it was around that time when she says, wow. I was like taken away from that scene. She says, now that, she said, to her, that was like the hand of God reaching out and saying, I don't want you there. Not that he wanted those people there either, but since that's her normal place to be at that time, he didn't want her there. So, and that of course, like, increases her kedusha, you know, I mean, her davening and everything that she does. That specifically relates to Hashem, even though she would say everything she knows relates to Hashem, just gets increased by that much more.
Wow.
Like turning up the volume.
That's where we're supposed to take it, that's what we're supposed to do. Totally not aware. Hashem is with us, taking care of us, and loves us, all this we don't really know. We just, like, sort of, you know. skirting around the issues. Get up, go to teach, go do this, do that, forget it. Okay, so I don't know if there's a copy machine today. Again, I'll find out.